Let's take a few minutes, if we can, to go back to the question of the Ramban in the sugya of Dolig. You know, we spoke about the Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Chodesh, and the whole sugya revolves around the Nichnasim and the Yotzim and the Chashash that somebody will come in. He came in late, so he doesn't realize that the previous Koreh read three psukim, or somebody leaves early, he doesn't realize that the one who's coming after him is going to read three psukim. So the Ramban says the following: Kishadoleg, if you repeat, let's say the Levi will repeat the last pasuk of the Kohen, Yesh Chashash Hanichnasim Bein Harishon L'Sheni Yiru Shasheni Maschil Pasuk Shlishi. That was our problem, correct?
Right.
That somebody missed Kohen, he comes in, the Levi's reading the third pasuk in the parasha. V'yomru sharishon karak shnei psukim. We'll come to the mistaken impression that the first one read only two psukim. Now, if you're going to say lo choshishim l'nichnasim, if you're going to say that we're not at all afraid of l'nichnasim, and that's Rav Shita, is that imkein maduot tzarech lidlog. What do you need the dilug at all? Yikru shnayim harishonim arba psukim. I guess each one will read four psukim, because there are eight psukim in that section. How are you? And kol echad vashlishi yikra shnei psukim shel yom haShabbos pasuk echad miparshas Rosh Chodesh sha'af sheyesh lach shosh bazeh l'nichnasim. Right, become ein choshishim. Right, we just finished saying that according to Rav, the reason why Levi picks it up at the third pasuk is because we're not worried about the nichnasim. So if we're not worried about the nichnasim, why not have the shlishi read the two psukim of Shabbos and then read the first pasuk of Rosh Chodesh? And if somebody comes in, you're going to be afraid that he'll come to the mistaken conclusion that the previous Ola read only one pasuk. He says, we're not choshish for the other. There's some inconsistency. Yeah. That was what you said was the Gra's question.
Yeah, I kind of like this even better than the. I mean, it makes it in some ways it seems preferable to me than the Gra's opinion, because the Gra's opinion was you do repeat. But you repeat at the, you know, you repeat more than one pasuk in order to do his opinion. Whereas, and so maybe the reason they went with what the minhag we have is they didn't want to repeat more than one pasuk. Maybe that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Nobody mentions it, but this, you're right. If somebody comes in, nobody's going to think you did less than, you know, just one pasuk at the beginning of a parsha.
Right.
But there's a more basic question though, which is, if you're worried about people coming in and not knowing how much people read, but you assume they know the Torah well enough that they know when the parshiyot are. How many people today know
So I just want to see, again, we have a few minutes before we officially start, maybe another 2 minutes. Maybe we can get something out of this Rashba here. He quotes, he says, Tirutz Rashba Kushas Ramban, Sha'af Shagam Kishidole. Even when, let's say, the Levi will repeat the last pasuk of the three psukim of the Kohen, Yesh lach shosh l'nichnasim, mikol makom kishidoleg, Yesh lach shosh rak l'nichnasim b'kriyas hasheni. So those who came in and they missed the first korah, and they came in for the second korah. Shiyomu sharishu korak shnei psukim hasheni. Im yikra shlishi pasuk echad miparshas Rosh Chodesh. So Rabban's question was, let the Shlishi read two psukim from Parshas HaShabbos and then one pasuk from Parshas Rosh Chodesh. Is then Yesh Lachshosh Gam L'Nichnasim B'Sof Kriyas HaShlishi Sheyiru Shekorei Pasuk Rishon V'Parshas Rosh Chodesh V'Yom Shekorak Pasuk Echad V'Gam L'Nichnasim B'kriyas haravi sheyiru shemaskel miposuk sheni v'yomu shashlishi kara kach. So basically, the thesis of the Rashba is that although there is a chashah nichnas, and the Rabban is right in the case of the sheni, but as you get more and more advanced in the kriya, it multiplies, and there's more and more chashash. Okay, he has a rod here. I think when we get a chance, we'll come back to it. So let's just see where we're up to today. We're actually up to Chav Gimel of an Aleph, and we're up to the two dots on the top of the Amud. So we'll go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that on a Yontif we read Chamisha Kruim, and Yom Kippur we read Shisha, and then Shabbos we have Shiva Kruim. And then the Mishnah ends up, we say Ein Pochsevehem Aval Mosifin Aleim. And we remember we had a Machlokas where the Mosifin Aleim refers only to the last case, which was Shabbos, or refers back to Yontif and Yom HaKippurim. Right? So Rashi Shita was that if we're only worried about Bittul Melacha, so these days there's no Bittul Melacha, therefore we can be Moser. But the Rad saying that we want to maintain the distinction between Yontif and Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur and Shabbos. So Gemara asks the following question. Basnisin Mani, whose Shita, the following Machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, does our Mishnah reflect? Lo Rabbi Shmuel, the Lo Rabbi Akiva. We have a Brisa that records two Shitos, and our Mishnah does not reflect either of these two Shitos. Disanya, we learned in a Brisa, Biyotif Chamisha, Ubiyom HaKippurim Shisha, Ubishabish Shiva, Ein Pochsim Behem, V'Ein Mosifin Alehem. So in other words, Rabbi Shmuel objects even in the case of Shabbos, how much more so in the cases of Yontif and Yom Kippur to add extra kruim. So that certainly doesn't reflect our Mishnah, because our Mishnah allows for Mosifin Aleihem, at least in the case of Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva there, he has a whole different setup. V'Yontif Chamisha, V'Yom HaKippurim Shiva, V'Shabbos Shisha. He puts Yom HaKippurim somehow on a higher level, and it gets Shiva Kruim, and on Shabbos it gets Shisha, Ein Pochsim Behem, Amal Mosifin Aleihem. That's another distinction between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. As Rabbi Shmuel had Ein Mosifin Aleihem, Rabbi Akiva in a sense reflects our mission of Mosifin Aleihem. Although again, the Mosifin Aleihem here is very problematic, according to the Ran Sheet that we mentioned earlier, because if you want to maintain the difference between Yom Kippur and Shabbos, then the very moment that you're Mosif on Shabbos, unless Mosif and Aleihem goes back to Yom Kippur in this case, which is a little bit odd in the Seder HaDvarim. But anyway, so let's just calculate the following. Our Mishnah is at loggerheads with both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva for two different reasons. In the case of Rabbi Shmuel, he has Ein Mosifin Aleihem as an absolute hardcore rule. That's against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says Mosifin Aleihem. And in the case of Rabbi Akiva, we have a switch here between Yom Kippur and Shabbos, whereas our Mishnah would have Yom Kippur as 6 and Shabbos as 7. Rabbi Akiva has Yom Kippur as 7 and Shabbos as 6. So this is what the Gemara calculates here. If our Mishnah would hold like Mishmael, that Yom Kippur is 6 and Shabbos is 7, so that's the good news. But Kasha Tosefes, Rabbi Shmuel absolutely objects to Mosifin Aleihem, where our Mishnah advocates in favor, or at least allows Mosifin Aleihem. But Rabbi Akiva, Kasha Shisha Veshiva, according to Rabbi Akiva, Yom Kippur gets 7, Shabbos gets 6, our Mishnah has Yom Kippur 6, and Shabbos gets 7. Amar Rava, so Rava says the following, that our Mishnah, Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, we have another Braisa, which is Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. At this point in the Gemara thinks that Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel is going to reflect the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel himself, which is going to be a problem, but the Gemara is going to try to iron that out in just a minute. And what do we have in Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel? B'yontif Chamisha, B'yom HaKippurim Shisha, B'Shabbos Shiva, everything's wonderful. Ein Pochsim Behem, Avol Mosifin Aleihem. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, V'kasha Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel. right? The Rabbi Shmuel of this Tana Dmei Rabbi Shmuel, which reflects our Mishnah, allows for Mosif and Aleim, but the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva has Rabbi Shmuel as rejecting the possibility of Mosif and Aleim. So the Gemara answers Trei Tanoi Aliba the Rabbi Shmuel. There were two traditions as to what Rabbi Shmuel actually maintained. What was his sheet? So now let's take a look at the Brisa. The Brisa has a record of Rabbi Shmuel as objecting to Mosif and Aleha. Matana de Lohadasanya. Let's take a look at an additional Brisa, and let's analyze this Brisa in the light of the previous analysis that we had, the various opinions. So this new brisa says the following: Biyontif ma'achrim lova, and it seems that since maleches ochel nefesh for preparing food is permissible on yontif, people would prepare their meal. And therefore they would come late to the Beit HaKnesset. I'm not exactly sure about the division of labor here between the men and the women. That I can't...
Interestingly, this actually has a comment. A lot of times you bring things up and you ask if Abschol does, but
right.
It doesn't. But this time
he does. He doesn't say anything.
Hagahos Yavet.
Oh, that's the... Oh, the Yavets. Oh, I know what the Yavets... Let me see if I guess what the Yavets says. Yeah. And then you'll tell me if he says the same thing. You don't mind, do you?
No, go ahead.
So I think the Yavetz is going to say that the men would have to help the women prepare because of the little children, meaning that the women could only be free to prepare the meals for Yontif if the men would watch the children. And therefore they would come late. Is that what you have?
That's mostly, although it does, the way this doesn't quote him, so they, I don't know, it may be exactly what you said, but the way they say it, it sounds like they also may be assisting with preparing the meal as well, because they say the men remain at home to care for the house and children while the meal is prepared and to assist their wives. So
he assists the wives in cooking, you mean? So assists the wives in watching the children.
Because it first says to take care of the house and the children, and then it says and to assist the wives, which sounds like therefore assisting with preparing the meal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Whatever it is, the wife needs to be free to cook, and the husband plays that role. It's very interesting because it sounds like a contemporary approach, you know, where, you know, in the modern era, you know, the woman, the wives expect their husbands, and he's coming late to shul.
But actually, it's an interesting thing, though. It's different a bit than the modern, because in a lot of synagogues, you have people bringing little kids to shul, like the men bringing little kids to shul because they're basically leaving the wives at home to... Now, this suggests that, you know, the kids they watch the kids until the wife's done, and then they go to shul without it. This, you know, because why do you need to bring the kids once the wife is done cooking and preparing the meal? Then she can
right.
watch
maybe
the kids.
They didn't encourage the children and, to well, come, or maybe they're very
well,
young children.
So my father-in-law, you know, he learned from his father and his grandfather. He does not like the little kids being brought to shul. Especially when you get to Purim, you know, he does not like the little kids at shul because.
Well, what's the age? I mean, there's got to be some sort of cutoff.
Well, I think usually, when they're old enough to basically be able to sit quietly,
right.
You know, he doesn't because.
Right, my son also does not encourage his kids to come to shul, and my son is really he's very pious. So this is called the Biyotif Miachrim Lava Umemarim Lotzeis. And here it's very interesting. Rashi quotes the halach of Simchas Yontif, which means that we wanted what's called Chetzil Lachem, Chetzil Hashem, that we want to make sure that there's ample time for Seudas Yontif. The Rambam actually in Hilchos Yontif goes through the whole Seder Hayom, that they would start learning and then they would daven and then they would come home and eat the Suda, then they would go back in the afternoon to get the rest of the learning done. But we had to have ample time for Tzarcha Yontif and Sudas Yontif, Simchas Yontif. Okay. Now he adds a comment here, which I'm sure you have also in your footnote, in the name of the Rashba and others, that Yesh Ligar Bechazonim Shema'achrim bitfila Yoser bechatzos. don't know if you have that comment in your footnotes here.
No, it doesn't have that.
But that's an interesting comment. And he says this is actually brought down in the poskim in Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham. He quotes a Sefer Chachamim, who also says it here, that the tefillah shouldn't go too long. In other words, even though we usually encourage people to stay in the Beis HaKnesses for a long time, so the longer the tefillah, the better. But here, in the case of Simchas Yontif, we don't want to be ma'akiv the people and keep them and hold them up from Simchas Yontif. And I can just tell you from experience in the shul that I davened in, the Bali tefillah on Yontif, whoa. I mean, Hal itself could take, I don't know if I'd be exaggerating, 20 minutes to a half hour. They sing every single, it's wonderful, you know, but my problem is because we're standing. If we could sit, I would mind. You know, I would just sing away, I'll read my svarim.
my wife's grandfather would always say that davening should be like counting money, quickly but carefully.
So. It bells, they daven fast. But here we're talking about Yontif, and the Chazanim are Marichim, he says. Okay, let's go on. Now, Yom HaKippurim, right, so we're not helping our wives to prepare the food, is we're Marim Lavo. Oh, and not only that, we're not going home for the Sudas Yontif, so therefore Ma'achim Lotzeis. Again, that's up until the time when the fast is over. Then we have to be very, very quick and make sure that everyone gets to eat something. Ube Shabbos. Now, in Shabbos, there's no possibility of preparing the melacha of Melechas Ochel Nefesh. Even that's prohibited on Shabbos. Is therefore Memarim Lavo. However, on Shabbos, as opposed to Yom HaKippurim, and here Shabbos it belongs to the similar group as Yontif, is Memarim Lotzis. We have the mitzvah of Oreg Shabbos. So again, on Yontif, we want to come late. We don't discourage that. Again, I don't think you have to come too late. You know, you definitely want to hear Baruch Hu. But there's no problem coming late because you're helping your wife. On Yom Kippur and Shabbos, the earlier you come, the better. Maybe you'll prepare for davening, like the Gemara says in Brachos. They used to come an hour before davening to prepare for davening. As far as leaving at the end and trying to make sure the davening is curtailed, so here we have a difference between Yom Kippur on the one end and Shabbos and Yontif on the other. That Shabbos and Yontif both have the common mitzvah of Seuda, and therefore we want to enjoy the Shabbos, we want to enjoy the Yontif, let's not go too long.
So this has the comment that, and it's interesting, it only has it on Shabbat, because why wouldn't this apply to Yom Tov as well? I guess it's overridden by the meal, the needs of the meal. But it says that it's preferred that it's not only that there's no preparation of the meal, but also, and I think it's citing, it seems to be citing Rashi, but also cites the Shulchan Aruch, it seems that it's better that the davening starts early so you can cite Shema just before Nates.
He wants to set up a davening at Hadates, I guess.
The seeking meetings usually are quicker, that's for sure.
I didn't think about dates. I thought more in terms of preparing for davening, but you're right.
This doesn't say anything about preparing. It says, there's just trying to start early in order to.
Right, it's a whole different approach. He's saying, Makdimim Lovo, or what was the language here? Memarim Lovo is for the sake of davening Hadates. I wonder if he's talking about the entire tzibur or just individuals. It's the whole discussion about.
Is this about the? Is this about what the timing of a minyan, or is this about an individual?
Right.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. So let's actually see the Rashi inside, see if he adds anything on Hadiths. Oh, here it is. So B'Shabbos, the four lines down from the top, five lines down to the top. Shekvar tiknu hakol be'er Shabbos fine. V'yafel amar v'yosem likro shmakim asikin. Wow. Very interesting. Yeah, this also touches on a whole different topic, which is not for us, whether Vatikin is a din in Kriyat Shema, it's a din in Shmon Esrei, it's in both. Rashi says put the emphasis on Kriyat Shema.
Yeah. I mean, if you're clearly, if you're davening Nate, if you're davening Shmon Esrei at Nate's, then the implication is then the ideal is to daven Shema just before Nate's.
Right. So just wondering, is that a key of the Kriyat Shema? Rashi seems to put all the emphasis on Kriyat Shema. I don't know if that's a fair diuk in Rashi. But obviously, if you're davening, if you're reciting Kriyat Shema at Vatikin, then Shmon Esrei immediately has to follow because of Smichus Gula Tefillah. There is an issue in Poskim, which is more important, Vatikin or Tefillah B'Tzibur. I think it actually says the Vatikin is more important than Tefillah B'Tzibur. But I don't know if that's what's going on over here.
So, yeah, my wife's grandfather was very, very strict about he would wherever he was, he would daven Vatikin, regardless of whether there was a minion or not. And he'd prefer to do that rather than my father would have
Rashi is
now.
Talking about that, or Rashi means let's get the whole tzimur to daven Vatikin. I don't know.
That's interesting. That's more.
So let's see what this brisa, how it sheds a light on our sugya, because at this point the Gemara has a very interesting hava mina, which. I don't know why the Gemara thinks this way. Let's see if we can analyze it. The Gemara says the following: Lema, Rabbi Akiva, the Isle Gavri Yisera. In other words, on Yom Kippur it says Ma'achrim, the Achrim Lotzes. Correct? Was that the language?
Yeah.
Let's get it again. It says Ma'achrim Lotzes. Oh, Shalom Aleichem. Wow. A face for the past. So now we say that Ma'achrim Lotzeis could reflect the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Let's go over Rabbi Akiva's sheet. Rabbi Akiva has 7 kruim on Yom Kippur. He has 6 kruim on Shabbos. And then he has Mosifin Aleihem. Now if Mosifin Aleihem refers to both, let's assume both Shabbos and Yom Kippur, chronologically, according to the Ran, at least to Yom Kippur, which has 7 kruim, so then the davening is going to take longer, right? And on Shabbos it says memarim lotzes, which would imply that there are less kruim. So it would be. So the Gemara thinks that this whole business about ma'achrim and memarim is all a reflection of how many kruim there are. Which is very odd because I'm not sure that the number of kruim should necessarily impact on what time you get out. But in any event, let's leave that for the time being. So it comes out like this, that according to Rabbi Akiva, on Yom Kippur, the Islay Gavri Yisera, therefore it makes sense that on Yom Kippur, it's Ma'achrim Lotzeis. But in the case of Shabbos, which according to Rabbi Akiva has only 6 kruim, therefore there's no memarim lotzes. And the Gemara apparently is not happy with interpreting this brisa according to Rabbi Akiva, because the Mishnah itself, if you recall, reflects the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel, which means that on Shabbos we call up 7 kruim. The Gemara answers Afilu Tema Rabbi Yishmael. We can reconcile this brisa of Ma'arim Lotzeis on Yom Kippur and Ma'arim Lotzeis on Shabbos with our Mishnah, which is Rabbi Yishmael. And what is that? So the Arichus here is not a result of Kriyas HaTorah, but rather the Nafish Sidura Diyoma. That there was an Arichus of Tefillah on Yom Kippur because of the Avodas HaYom. So there's a long Shmon Esrei, both in terms of the silent Shmon Esrei and Musaf of Yom Kippur, and certainly how much more so in the Chazor Sashatz, which reflects the Avodas Hayom, and therefore it's Ma'achrim Lotzes. Now you can add another point here, which he quotes here in the name of the Ran, that on Yom Kippur there's also a separate mitzvah of Slichot, of Shevach. You know, we sing all sorts of liturgical poems about the beauty and the greatness of God. Then you have the Shir HaYichud, different kinds of expressions of the special nature of Tefillah on Yom HaKippur. So the halacha Ma'achrim Lotzeis in Yom HaKippur does not necessarily reflect the extra Koru, which would be the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, but rather the nature of Tefillah on Yom Kippur.
How much time would one aliyah add anyway?
How much would one aliyah add anyway? So here he tells you.
The Rosh Bar asked this question.
Yes. He tells you to look at Tosfos back on Nafchaf Aleph Amid Beis that Ikar Hatamhu. Okay, 1 second. Oh, we didn't get to that yet. I'm just saying, let's hold off with the Tosfos for just one more minute. And he says the following. The Gemara now is going to embark on an analysis of the numbers of Kruin, what they correspond to. So we have in Yemos HaChol, we have 3. We've discussed that in the past. And we have on Yontif, we have 5. And on Shabbos, we have 7. Later on, the Gemara is going to immediately pick up Yom HaKippur. So before we go on, let's mention the following. That the Gemara beforehand attributes the significance of 3 Kruim to one of 2 things. Either to Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim, or to Kohanim Levi'im and Yisraelim. Here, the Gemara is going to introduce a whole new element into the equation. And it has to do with the Birchas Kohanim, the 3 Psukim and Birchas Kohanim. So Tosfos wants to know, how do we reconcile these 2 sugyas? He says the following. Li'el, Ikar HaTavu K'neged Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim, or as we said before, the other possibilities of what the significance of the number three is. V'zeh atam l'shlosha korim. V'shar hayomim, shekorim arba v'yoser. And we're going to look and treat and see if we can find explanations for the numbers 4 and above. V'atam hu, k'mo shekol ha-mishnah, shekol yom shenosaf bo, Dover Mosifim Bo Kore Nosaf. That the Gemara says, based on the Mishnah, that each day that has a higher level of sanctity, it has a Karban Musaf, it has an Issa Malacha, it has a Kedusha Sayom, an Issa Karis, an Issa Skil, etc., etc., we have to add and reflect an extra Karban. Umasha Gemara Mevia Khan. But here the Gemara is going to give other explanations justifying the numbers of Kruim. Ein ze ikar atam. Tosfos says that that's not the main reason. The main reason we had already, based on the Mishnah, that we want to increase the Kruim to reflect the increase of Kedusha. Ela shemasha efshal lismach al pasuk somchim. In other words, if we can find a pasuk somewhere in the Tanakh that would also give us an extra significance or a symbolic message inherent in the number of Kruim, we want to add that. But that's not the Ikar HaTam. He says, V'yesh lochiach, he says, will prove, Sharia Gemara eina mevia kan tam le'arba v'shisha korim. Right, the Gemara is going to skip initially 4 and 6. Again, 6 we're going to pick up a little bit later. Ela rak shlosha v'chamisha v'shiva. He says, if this was the Ikar HaTam, then the Gemara wouldn't have skipped the 4 and the 6. The Gemara wouldn't have limited its focus to 3, 5, and 7. Umasha Gemara Mevayeres L'Kamon Shisha, and the Gemara is going to explain that back in the time of Ezra, there were 6 people involved in guarding the Mishkan and so forth and so on, whatever it is. We'll see the Shomer Asaf. He says, that's as far as 6 is concerned. He gufa tzarek biur, shisha to Ezra k'neged mi, u'muchach she'ein ze ikar alimud, el she'bevia gemara smachta, l'masha efshar. So again, there's the ikar reason for the takana, and then there's what's called an asmachta. An asmachta means that if we could try to explain psukim and connect them to the numbers, then that would be fine. Achtosis ka, Dirim Askel Hani, this Tosis here in our daf, as opposed to Tosis back on Chaf Aleph, Mashma, She'ain Maspik Hatam shall call the Tfe, Milsavi Chavri Tfe Legavan, that we just add another Gavan to introduce the extra Kavan Musaf, etc., etc. Ella, that reasoning only works for Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, where the Kavan Musaf jacks it up by 1 from 3 to 4. Achli Yotiv, Yom Kippur v'Shavus shenosaf behem isur malacha v'karis uskilu lo yoel tam zekedei lahosif harbe kruim. So Tos doesn't think that the extra Yisr Malacha element, with the severity of the punishment, where we go from Malchus to Kares all the way to Skila, that would not itself justify the Tosefes. So the Tosefes of what we call the extra Korban Musaf, that only justifies Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh, but it doesn't justify jacking it up beyond the number four. V'lachei nitzrach halimud kan bedafka. So basically what he's presenting here is there seems to be a discrepancy here between two Tosfos, which is, that's not a problem in and of itself, but the Shita Tosfos Liel is that the Iker Tam for all these numbers is Tfei Milsa. The Tvei Milsa that we add something because it reflects an extra severity, an extra sanctity, and so forth. And this Gemara here is just Begeder Asmacht.
The Ritva apparently was aware of the conflict between the Tosfos, right? And he says that pretty much that the Gemara here is just a remez, whereas the previous Gemara, that's the real reason.
So he's really reflecting Tosfos back on Chafal.
Right.
But here you get the impression he says the Kible, you see three lines down from the top, the time of the Musaf, Choshev Litfuye Chad Gavri. You could justify the extra Kori based on Musaf, and that applies to both Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed. But to add a fifth and a sixth and a seventh, the Gemara is of the opinion here that the fact that there's Kares or Malchus Kares or Bisa, that's not enough. So it would seem that at least according to this Tosis, the our Gemara is really trying to focus on the Ika reasoning. Although again, there is an explanation here for the number three, which you have to reconcile that with the previous sugya. And which one is the Iker, which one is the Asmachta? Sahani Shlosha V'chamisha Shiva Kenegin Bi Pligi Bar Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Nachmeni V'chad De'imei Umanu, and who's this Chad De'imei? Rabbi Shiva Ben Pasi. The Amri Leonis say it was Rabbi Shiva Ben Pasi V'chad De'imei Umanu Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Nachmeni. So who made the original position and who disagreed? The Amri Leonis say Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni V'chad and somebody else. According to one opinion, the reason for the number three, and the number three means that there are three kruim on a chol, on a yom chol of mincha, and Shabbos is kenegin the three psukim of Birchas Kohanim. And then yesh b'shlosha tevos b'pasuk. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go through it. In the first pasuk, Yivrech Hashem Yishmerecha, there are three words, and that corresponds to the three kruim of a chol. And then the next pasuk, there are five words, and finally, the last pasuk, there are seven words. So that's one opinion. The Chad Amar, and the other opinion has to do with what we call Shmira. Shmira means, with regard to the Beis HaMikdash and the Azara, there were shomrim. And there were what's called Shomrei Asaf, there were Roei Pnei HaMelech, and the Roei Pnei HaMelech itself divides up into two groups. There were the five and the seven. So first we start with the group of three, Shlosha Shomrei Asaf. These were those three people who were in charge of the Pesach Azara, right? That it was important that Zara doesn't go into the Azara. And certainly we didn't want the enemies to go into the Azara. So these were the security guards of the Azara. Chamisha miroei pnei HaMelech. You may recall in Megillas Esther we spoke about the roei pnei HaMelech. And these were the sarim that were in the inner circle of the king. And they divided up into two groups. One group was made up of five sarim. Those were the real chashuvim, the most important sarim. And then there was another group of shiva roei pnei HaMelech, that they also were close to the Melech, but they were not the Chashuv. They were a little bit less Chashuv. So we have the number five, and we have the number seven, and in the Azor we have the number three.
This doesn't tell us, I mean, the difference between this explanation and the first one on Chaf Aleph, this doesn't tell us why 3, 5, and 7 correspond to...
So that's what we're going to get into now, and Rashi's going to try to explain it as well. He says the following. Okay, so let's go slowly and see if we can make some, construct something here. He says the following. At the end of Sefer Melachim, and also in Yirmiyahu Navi, we have descriptions of the Golus of Bais, after Bais Rishon, which was generated by the Nebuzaradan of Bavel, and the king of Bavel. And he committed all sorts of atrocities against the Jewish people, the Vuzarad, many of which are reflected on Tisha B'Av, if you recall. And according to the Sheet of Tosfos, Kenegdom, Tiknu es Mispar Hakorim Bitora Me'ein Dvar Malchus. In other words, we're talking about Malchus, we're talking about kingship. And Kriyas HaTorah has a relationship to kingship. In other words, the way we want to organize it, it reflects kingship. So let's take a look at Rashi, and then we'll take a look at Tosfos. First of all, Rashi explains the first opinion, and he says what we said before, the three tevas of the first pasuk, five tevas in the second, and Shiva the third. Those are the three psukim that comprise Birchas Kohen. Then we get to Chamisha Miroi Pnei Amelech, Veshiva Roi Pnei Amelech. He says, Shiva Hem Kenichsiv, and here he's quoting a pasuk in Esther, at the beginning of Megillas Esther. It says, Shivas Sore Paras Umode. Ubehem, amongst these seven, is Yesh Chamisha Chashuvim. Kenichsiv Besof Melachim. So he's combining now a pasuk in Esther with a pasuk in Melachim. And there the pasuk in Melachim introduces the number five, that these were the five, Roi, Pnei HaMelech, and they were the Chashuvim. And he says the following, U'mehem yesh chamisha chashuvim, can exhibit himself Melachim. And where do we find Shlosha? Shomrei Asaf. So the seven we get from Esther, the five we get from Sefer Melachim, and finally, in the case of the weekday Kriya, which is Shlosha, we have Shlosha Shomrei Asaf Besof Sefer Melachim. Kenegdom Tiknun Elu Me'ein Dvar Malchus. So this is a connection between Malchus and Kriya Satorah. The best I can tell you here is that Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, which we're going to see later on in the Mishnah of Beis, is what's called the Dabash of the Kedusha. Right, take a look at the Mishnah on Amid Beis, and you see the Gemara says, Omar Abchia Bar Abba, on this Mishnah that requires Asara, it says, so we have a concept here called the Davish of the Kedusha. And the Gemara finally concludes and says, Ein Davish of the Kedusha, Elabas Sara. Lo Pachos Be'as Sara. We don't have less than 10 people for Davish of the Kedusha. So somehow Davish of the Kedusha means like in front of the Melech. You know, the Melech here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we read his Torah publicly, we're in the presence of the Melech. And the Kriyas HaTorah should somehow reflect the fact that we're in the presence of the Melech. Now take a look at Tosfos, Dibur Masel Shiva Roa Pnei HaMelech, Pirush HaKudshes, the Achashverosh, which Melech is here referring to, because Rashi invokes the pasuk at the beginning of Esther, and that's the Melech Achashverosh. V'kasha Lomar, Tosfos has a problem accepting Shetiknu Chachomim, Keneged Inyonu Shel Oso Rasha. We saw this over and over again throughout the Agadah that Ahasuerus doesn't get a very high billing in Chazal. He was the one who actually gave over to Haman the ability to destroy the Jewish people. So does it make sense that our Dvar Malchus here should reflect Melech Achashverosh? L'chein Pirush Rabbeinu Tam Osan Aksuvim B'Sefer Yirmiyah U'Melachim K'siv Hashem. So let me read to you for a second here. He adds a little bit to Tosus here. Just give me a second here. He quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah, "Dichsiv v'shiva anoshim mi roe pnei hamelech." So again, where Rashi quoted a pasuk in Esther, Tosus quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah, and there it says, "Shiva anoshim mi roe pnei hamelech." Shahoyu hasorim etzel tzidkiyo hamelech. So now we're referring to which melech? Not Achashverosh, but rather Tzidkiyo HaMelech. Ubi Melechim, Ksiv, Hey, Anoshim, five Anoshim. Tichsiv, and he quotes the Pasuk, V'chamish Anoshim miroe Pnei HaMelech. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a reference to Tzidkiyo, I'd have to open up the Tanakh. Ubi Shalmi refers, Shashiva Shehutzku miyirio, Hoyu Chevrei HaSanhedrin, the members of Sanhedrin, V'chamisha shehuzkiru b'molochim heim b'chalal hashiv. These were five of the chshuvim of this seven. Now, hashnayim shalohuzkiru b'molochim, why did the pasuk b'molochim only mention five, when in fact the pasuk in Yirmiyah seems to indicate that there were seven? He says, heim ayu sofrei adayon. They weren't the Dayonim themselves, but rather they were the Sofrei HaDayonim. So B'kitzur Rabosai, what we have here is an objection in Tosfos. How could it be possible that Kriyas HaTorah would somehow reflect, the way Rashi has it, the Roe Pnei HaMelech HaChashverosh, who's a Rasha? So instead we substitute a Pasuk in Yirmiyah, that those seven Roe Pnei HaMelech are the Roe Pnei HaMelech Tzidkiyo. But both Rashi and Tosfos seem to indicate that somehow Kriyas HaTorah is Be'ein Dvar Malchus, that there's an element here of Kabbalas Pnei HaMelech. It's almost as if when we read the Torah publicly, the Shechina is there and we have to receive the Melech. Toni Rav Yosef, we have a Brice of Rav Yosef, Shlosha Chamisha V'Shiva Keneged Shlosha Shomrei Asaf Chamisha roi pnei hamelech, shiva roi pnei hamelech. Omer le Abaye, ad ha'ina, you've taught Masechta the Megillah many times. By time lo pirush lo mar, why didn't you explain it the way you explained it now? Omer le, lo aviyadana ditzrichtu le. I didn't even know that you needed my explanation. Umi ba'isu mino et milsa, you never asked me this question. Therefore, I didn't take the initiative. Okay, now the Gemara explains that the reason for 3, 5, and 7 Korim is justified. But what about the 6 Kruim of Yom Kippur? Omele Yaakov Minah. Okay, Minah is the name of a place.
Again, it still didn't, in the 3, 5, and 7, it didn't say why 5 is
Yom Kippur. Right. He doesn't relate it to each one, right? I guess, again, Tosfos points out, we're still integrating the reasoning of the Gemara before that we're going up in Kiddusha.
This really has to be the Asmachta. The other one has to be the Iker, because that one actually gives us specifics.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. I guess you could see it in two different ways. So yeah, let's think about Yom Kippur. Why is Yom Kippur? Hani Shisha Yom Kippur Kineged Mi Omele Kineged Shisha Sha'omdu Miyamino Shal Ezra V'Shisha Mismola. So when Ezra comes off from the Gola, he reads the Torah publicly. The Gemara tells us that elsewhere that this took place on Rosh Hashanah, and he reads the Sefer Torah for half a day, and he is flanked on both sides by Shisha, one on the right side by Shisha and on the left side, Shenemar, and the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Vayamod Ezra Sofer al Migdal Eitz Asher Osu Lidavar They set up a separate structure, and he stood there and he read the Torah publicly. Vayamod et slo, and here's the group of six people on each side. Matisyahu v'shama v'aniya v'anoya v'uria v'chilkia u'ma'aseya al yamina. So those are the six people on his right. Will be small on his left. Pidaya u'bishael u'malkia v'chashum v'chashbadana Zechariah Meshulam. We're going to have to see whether Zechariah Meshulam is one person or two people, and we'll also have to figure out why the number six. I mean, there was six on his right, six on his left. Apparently the six on the right were more important. The Yamin is always considered more important. But in any event, we have a Shisha Kruim B'Yom HaKippurim, and here we're going to create some sort of relationship between Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim. They're both Yimei HaDin, and the culmination of Din is on Yom Kippur. Since Ezra gathered together the people and he read the Torah publicly on Rosh Hashanah, therefore we want to establish a zecher, so to speak, to that public reading of the Torah at the time when the people came back to Eretz Yisrael, in which there were six people flanking Ezra when he read the Torah publicly, and they were located on the left. He says here in the footnote, the name of the Sifrei Chachamim, why weren't they Misaki 12 people? So he says, Yitochen v'tiknu rak k'neged ha'om d'mitzad yamin shehu achoshu. Okay, take it or leave it. That's what you have right now. If you have anything better, let me know. But that's the six on his right. Now, the Gemara asks, Hani Shiva Havu. In truth, if you read the names here, you'll see that there were seven names, not six, as Rabbi Yehuda said before, but rather seven. So the Gemara answers, Hani Zechariah Ben Meshulam. That Meshulam is only a description or an adjective that's added onto his name. It's not another person called Meshulam. My Kari Meshulam, why did they add the kinui, this extra nickname that he's Meshulam? De Mishlei Ba'ovadei. He was very perfect in his Avodas Hashem. Torah Rabbanan, Akol Olam Leminyan Shiva Vafilu Katan Vafilu Isha. This is a very, very famous Gemara. My Rebbe used to quote this all the time. That as far as calculating the number of seven, you can call up a woman and you can call up a katan. The Gemara goes on to say that for whatever reason, we'll see in a minute, they didn't rely on this halach. This is the Ikar HaDin, but for extraneous reasons, they did not call up a woman as part of Shiva. Now let's talk about a katan for a moment. This fascinates me because a katan is a la bar chiyuva. How can he possibly get an aliyah and read the Torah publicly and recite the brachas over the Torah on behalf of the tzibur? Perhaps this reflects the shita of Rabbi Yehuda that we learned earlier in Masechta Megillah, who says that a katan can read the Megillah on behalf of the tzibur, and he can be motzi the tzibur yidei chovasa. In any event, I wanted to read to you a footnote here. He says, "Kasam Amogen Avram, de mikol makom katan eino yochel lahotzi acherim bekriyasa." So this is a pella, because if I understand correctly, what he's saying is that we're going to call up a katan, but yet the katan is not motzi the tzibur. So what's the point in calling up a katan? So he tells you, "I am the Mishnah Brura." I don't know if we have a Mishnah Brura. If not, we'll look it up tomorrow. But he goes on, and here's something that I wanted to call your attention. Since he's quoting the Magen Avraham, he says the following: that this halacha that you can call up a katan or an isha, he says. I'm sorry, the katan. Let's leave out an isha. He says, "Haynu dafka b'Shabbos." That's only on Shabbos. Ach le'inyan shlosha kruim b'yimei achol. As far as the bare minimum of three, tzarech shiyu dafka gedolim, v'ach b'shabbos tzarech shiyukru shlosha rishonim gedolim, v'rak acher kach efshar lahashlim b'ktanim. Now here I find either there's a printing mistake, or maybe you can help me read this word. I couldn't make it out. He says, "Umemachzis hashekel." That's a super commentary on the Magen Avraham. Kosav shekmochein. I am olim leminyan shiva. Maybe it's ain. Maybe it's, I don't know. Let me just see if Ain works out. Again, the printing mistake, a double mistake. Yeah, anyway, Minyan Shisha Biyoma Kippurim VeChamisha Biyot VeRabam Rosh Chodesh Chol Shomoed. What does he mean over here? Anyway, so we'll have to figure out what he's saying. The question is the following. If you talk about a weekday, according to the Magen Avraham Shita, you need three gedolim. If you talk about Shabbos, you need the first three aliyos to be gedolim. We're not sure here, because again, there seems to be some sort of printing error here in my text about this Machsa Shekel. What would the Magen Avraham say about the four kruim on Rosh Chodesh Chol Hamoed, about the five kruim on Yontif, and the six kruim on Yom Kippur? Once again, I would assume that if we're already beyond the critical three, then the Magen Avraham would understand that that's where the Gemara here, this price, is giving room for a katan, and that should apply straight across the board. But I don't know, he has the word I Aleph Yud Yud Mem here, which makes no sense to me. But here's the problem, here's the punchline. The Meiri writes, in the name of Yesh Omrim, doesn't mean that the Meiri accepted the Shita, She'achar she'korei gadol echad, after you call up one gadol, yecholim lahashlim hashar v'ktanim. And why? Because Ezra, when he came and he was misaking three kruim, he was building on the shoulder. He was standing on the shoulders of Moshe Rabbeinu. And as far as Moshe Rabbeinu is concerned, all you need is one karu who would read three psukim. She'kriyas harishon he ikar atakodesh shel Moshe Rabbeinu. So what I make out of this is the following. Again, most of this is just Burzon speaking. Whether it's worth the time or not, I can't tell you. There's a fundamental machlokas here between the Meiri and the Magen Avraham. Both are facing the same challenge. And that is, how can you possibly call up a katan? I mean, you need X number of kruim, and he's not a bar chiyuva. He can't be motzi the tzibur. And here's where the Meiri and the Magen Avraham, again separated by 8 centuries, you know, by 6 centuries or whatever it is, they're arguing about the nature of Takonis Ezra. Whereas, according to the Magen Avraham, Ezra was masaking three kruim, and nothing less than three will do, and hence there's no way you can justify calling him a katan on a day of Chol. We need three kruim, and there's no Tosefis on a day of Chol. And therefore, the Magen Avraham is forced into a corner here, that the only discussion about a katan here in our Braisa is with regard to beyond three kruim, which again is a separate takana that goes beyond the three. But the basic takana of Ezra fundamentally was three kruim. Anything beyond that is a little bit of a tosefes. And again, I don't know exactly what the katan is going to do for us over here. Don't ask me, because that we have to see the Mishnah Berurah inside. Maybe he'll shed a light on this. I'll try to get that for tomorrow. But then the Meiri comes along and says, no. When you ask me what's the basic requirement of Kriyas HaTorah, it's one Karu, because that was the Takana Moshe Rabbeinu. So that Ezra, even in terms of his requirement of three kruim, whether it's derived from Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, Kohen Levi Yisrael, or whether it's derived from the different parashas that we read before, even that is already a Tosefes. And when the Braisa says that you can call up a katan, it means you can call up a katan even after the first kruim. That's the meaning.
This cites the Ola Shabbos?
Not familiar who that is, but yeah.
But looking at the wording of the Braisa, where he concluded that this has to only be on Shabbos, because the Braisa specifically says the Minyan Shiva. It doesn't say,
right.
You know, so he could have just said you can call right. up anybody.
Correct. The language itself is indicative of of the Magen Avraham's conclusion, except then we get into this question, which again I want to see this Machzah Shekel inside with the Mishnah Berurah. What about on Yontif and Chol Hamoed and so forth and so on? Okay, Rabbi, so this is where we'll stop, and Ritz Hashem, tomorrow we'll try to take it even a